Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. All right, let's open our Bibles. Let's open our Bibles to Ruth, to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. We wait a little bit for the meet and greet. I try to wait a little bit because as parents take their kids down, some of them might need a bit of time to get back up. So I just want to make a quick mention. Remember a couple weeks ago, I said David and Hazel would be coming from Menorca every other week. Well, they've been coming every week. So, next thing, you gotta come on Wednesdays as well. Just kidding. Yes, you can use whatever you want. You've earned it. So, Ruth chapter 1. Let me get over there. And let's read the passage. My goodness. Here. Verses 6 through 18. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you might find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them and lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say that I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters. For it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her, and she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she had determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her and went together. Now that she stopped speaking with her altogether. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for these amazing verses of love, of commitment, of looking out for each other's interests, for caring. And I pray, Father, you would take this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to give your heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you more driven by what makes sense? Or are you driven by trust in God? We live in a world that praises common sense and calculated decisions. But sometimes we will be led by God in ways that logically it does not make sense. In ways that people in the world would look at us and say, you are foolish. That's Ruth here. The passage has an incredibly beautiful contrast. You have Orpah and you have Ruth. One makes a good decision, a logical decision. The other one makes a godly decision. A faithful decision, not because the other one was not faithful, but because it was full of faith. It was full of confidence in God. And here in the passage, we have that Naomi hears of the good news. She hears in the midst of her sorrow, and we looked at last week that in six verses, her life, all the German that's coming my way recently, but in six verses, life can fall apart. A phone call we looked at. The doctor can say, hey, it's not what we thought. It's actually worse than it is. And we see that in Naomi's life, she loses her husband, then her sons marry, and then she loses both her sons. And her life is falling apart. That all of a sudden, there is news that God, the Lord, has visited his people by giving them bread. And it is a glimmer of hope. At rock bottom. After famine, loss, and grief, Naomi hears a whisper of hope. And that sentence that came to her, the Lord has visited his people by giving them bread, becomes a turning point in her life. She hears about what God is doing. And that's all it takes. One sentence of hope to move towards healing, to move us forward toward the will of God. And it's amazing when our lives go from us striving to us yielding to what God is doing. And in that glimmer of hope, it says that Naomi arose, the change. She realizes God is doing something. I love the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And they, at one point, one of them says, Aslan's on the move. And Naomi just gets up and she says, she rises. And in a sense, she takes a small step forward towards God. She takes a small step forward toward what God is doing. But that small step is a significant step. And I was thinking about this. What does this remind me of? Well, one small step for humanity. I mean, what for man, but one great step for humanity. And you think of, they say marathons, it starts by the first step. But here is a turning point in Naomi's life. She goes from hopelessness towards that glimmer of what God is doing. It all begins with she rose. And Naomi sets out with her daughters-in-law, but on the road, it's like she stops. It's almost like they get up, the three of them. They're like, okay, I'm going, and they're following. And it's just like her mind is just turning and say, okay, but what's going to happen to them? And how are they going to be treated in Israel? And who are they going to marry? They're so young. And you see that there's a reason. This seems like to be a reasoning there. And she all of a sudden begins to think after that step of the possible scenarios. Have you ever had that? You make that small step of faith. And all of a sudden, reason begins to creep in. And Naomi loves them enough to let them go. Naomi says, hey, go back. She blesses them. It says that, daughters, go, for I am too old. Says, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly. She doesn't want any bad for their daughters-in-law. It's not like it's just go back. No. May the Lord be kind to you. And it's interesting to me because here she exercises faith by letting them go. And I love in Philemon, if you have some time this afternoon, just read the letter of Philemon. It's just a few verses. It's one chapter. And you have this Onesimus who becomes a Christian. You have Philemon who's Paul's friend. And Paul's got Onesimus, leads them to the Lord. And at one point, he's got this dilemma. And he says, you know, Onesimus, I think you need to go back. And he writes the letter to Philemon. And he says, look, I am sending you back. I am sending Onesimus back to you. He says, because I don't want to keep them with me. I want to send them back. So if you choose to send them to me, it is because you wanted to. It's because you made the decision not out of pressure, but out of love. And here's what Naomi is doing with Ruth. Go back. Look out for your life. She sets them free. And the initial response from Orpah and from Ruth is that they wept. They said, we will return with you. And they lifted up their voices and wept. But you know what, guys? When it comes to big decisions in life, emotional decisions are not going to hold in the long run. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of hugs. But emotion is not enough. And Naomi's here being weighed down by the logical argument of it all. And she says, even if I had sons, would you wait? She's not just grieving. She is emptied of expectation. She's got sorrow upon sorrow. What she says about herself is, really, you want to come with me? The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Naomi believes in God. But she misunderstands God. She interprets the hurt, the loss, the pain, the sorrow as God's judgment, not God's process. And when the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight, when it says, lean not on your own understanding, He means it. It's not just words on a page. It means that there are times in our lives where we are not going to understand the circumstances that we are in, but we are going to understand the character of God in his, in whose hands we are. Many make decisions from a place of pain, believing their story is over. So we look at our lives and seasons of our lives, and when we look at it, and we say, it's over. When in reality, it's only the middle chapter. You know, I've never watched the Mission Impossible movie, but I would imagine it's about an impossible mission. And everybody loves suspense. Everybody loves drama. Everybody loves when the whole thing builds up and you're like, he's not going to make it, but you know he's going to make it. Everybody loves to watch it, but nobody wants to be in it. But the reality is, the Bible is all about being under suspense. Paul says it like this. He says to the Corinthians, I want you to know my trial that came to me, that I was tried beyond measure and above strength, so that we will not rely on ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So he, in a sense, what he's interpreted, he's saying, listen, I am blessed. I know God personally. God has chosen me to take the gospel to the whole world. But when you look at my circumstances, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that I go through thick and thin. But what I don't doubt, I might not understand the circumstances, but what I don't doubt is the character of God. And as a Christian here today, experiences are not going to build your faith. Knowing God is going to build your faith. Knowing God's character, knowing His kindness, knowing His wisdom, knowing His power, knowing His amazing ability to like a chess master who can move the pieces, and you might not understand, but what you know at the end, He wins. And we win in Him. Many make decisions from a place of pain. We cannot live impossible missions by watching movies. I, as a matter of fact, I don't even like watching drama movies. I got enough drama in my life to want somebody else's suspense. And I want to ask you a question. What's the story that you believe in your life? We watched the home groups. What were we doing? What's that? Practicing the way. In one of the chapters, it just blew my mind. The question was, what's the story you believe? What drives you? The story you believe will drive your life. You believe that God is just waiting there with a hammer, just waiting to just hammer you? Do you believe that the Son of God came to earth to redeem you because He loves you, because He cares for you? That He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus? Do you believe that? Do you believe that He's come to bless you? Do you believe that He's got better plans for you than you have for yourself? Because at the end of the day, it is that story which you believe which is going to drive your life. If you believe that you can take better care of yourself than God can, you will constantly be self-preserving. You'll be calculating what's best for me. But when you realize that God is the one that takes care of us, all of a sudden there's a new freedom. And trust me, I panicked many times. I still do. But God always brings me to that place of His character. And the story The battle of story that I have is one sometimes is self-preservation. But the story that I want to dominate in my life is the story of God's kindness that leads us to the end. God's goodness. What's the story you believe? That's the story that drives you. And God wants us to grow in a trusting, loving relationship. How do you know that God is all you need and that God is all you have? But Ruth's words in this passage are just stunning. Ruth just goes, listen, Naomi, we've been through too much together. Where you go, I go. Your God will be my God. This is commitment. This is loyalty. Even more, this is conversion. This is a girl saying, I believe in your God, the God of Israel. Ruth is leaving her gods, her land, her people, not knowing as a Moabite what in the world's waiting for her in Israel. I mean, who would marry a Moabitess? She is throwing her life into Naomi's hands, and even higher than that, she's throwing her life into God's hands. This is love. This is steadfast, covenant, costly love. Mel Gibson made a movie about, I forgot, it was a particular soldier that didn't want to carry a gun. He was a medic. And he goes up the hill, I don't know how many times, 81 times, to rescue people. And every time he comes down with someone, he says, one more. God, give me one more. God, give me one more. And he rescued tons of people. It's a commitment. It's a drive. Here at church, we had a couple, David and Peggy. She was in a wheelchair for 10 years. And everywhere Peggy needed to go, there David took her. And then God healed her. Don't ask me how, don't ask me why. It wasn't here, so I'm not trying to say, hey, it was, you know what I mean? It was our church, you know, it was somewhere else. But God healed her. She could walk again. And so they were together, and next thing you know, he got ill. And she took care of him until the day she passed away. Until the day he passed away, with all the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren around the bed, and he just blessed all of them. That's love. When one falls down, the other one sustains. Just like two couples I had, I was sitting right there. It didn't look like that because there was the sentry was like this. But I remember sitting there with a girl, and she told me, I'm divorcing my husband. I said, really? She said, well, do you know what it says? When the money goes, the love goes. And I thought, I said to her, I've turned a lot more quiet in my older age, but I remember saying, that's exactly what you said at the altar, isn't it? And they ended up sticking it out. But then there was another couple. There was a guy here at the church. His wife left the daughter as well. Next thing you know, he had properties here, and then God brought him this new believer that had come. Her name was Alex, and man, in 2008, when the economy went down and the properties the travel, just everything that was going on, he lost everything. He lost everything. He lost all the properties he had in Miami. He felt an absolute loser. I'm not saying he was, I'm saying he felt. And she looked at him and she says, "Oh, we have each other." You know, it's a love like Jesus' love. When he set his face to go to Jerusalem, out of love, committed, covenant love. These words of Ruth are read in many, many weddings. But sadly enough, not held through life. But it's something that we can learn from. It wasn't logical, but it was God. It wasn't selfish. It was beautiful. And I think the hardest part of these verses that we read is Naomi actually accepting it. I don't know about some of you guys, but isn't it hard sometimes when people do things for you? It's kind of hard sometimes to receive. For others, maybe it isn't so much, but sometimes it can be really hard. And when Naomi saw that she was determined, it was not just you ever get a polite offer? If you need, poor Otto, he got more than he was bargaining for this week. He's like, "Hey, Raph, if you need any help, just call me." And I said, "Otto, I need help." And he came over, and then we had to move a pallet of stones. They were 40 kilos a piece, I think. You know, we had to move and then set them up. But you know, I mean, but he was serious about it, and he stayed, and we sweat together. But the reality is sometimes it we can have these great statements, but we're not sure. But when Naomi saw the determination of Ruth, she says, "Okay, I'm receiving your decision. I am going with you." Sometimes trust is silently accepting what God's giving us. And from this moment forward, Ruth's decision, her sacrificial, loving decision, begins to change both their stories. And guys, hear this, and our story. Because through Ruth's decision, she meets Boaz. And through Boaz and Ruth, Messiah comes to the earth. I mean, it's even going to get more interesting than that. But it's just amazing. This godly decision begins to change both stories. Now, I want to read to you. I'm not going to tell you who it was. There was one guy that was asked on TV about his wife. He's like, "I have a wife with Alzheimer's, and I now have a girlfriend because she's in a home." And this pastor on TV said, "Well, you know, essentially, your wife is dead. She's not there anymore. So you can just, I think, in order to be with this girl, what you have to do is just, you have to divorce your wife. And then you just leave her and you just move on with your life." I know. But it sounds, listen, when you listen to it, it sounds logical. Now there's a seminary director who called Robertson McQuilkin. And I just want to read to you, whose wife had Alzheimer's, who was okay when he was around, but panicked when he wasn't around, who didn't recognize him anymore. I'm going to read to you his resignation letter, which he delivered in 1990 in Columbia Bible College Seminary. In the providence of God, life sometimes brings you to a crossroad, not one of confusion, but of clarity. After much prayer and consultation with loved ones and colleagues, and most importantly, listening to the quiet voice of the Lord, I have come to a firm decision. Today, I am resigning as president of Columbia Bible College and Seminary. This has not been an easy decision in the sense of affection. I love this institution. I love what God has done here and what I believe He will continue to do. These have been joyful, fruitful years. I will not trade them for anything. But the decision itself, it was simple. It was clear because it was about love and covenant and calling. Muriel, his wife, needs me now. My beloved wife Muriel has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease for some time now. As many as you know, the illness has progressed to the point where she is no longer knows many of you or even me at times. But in her own way, she still loves me. She feels safe when I am near. She becomes distressed when I leave. She doesn't understand why I'm not there, and frankly, neither do I. The decision was made for me, really. In a thousand little ways, she needs me. She doesn't need me as a president. She needs me as a husband. And I want to be there for her. I promise. When Mariel and I stood before God and our family for more than 40 years ago, we made a promise. I said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death do us apart. And I meant it. She sacrificed for me for decades. She gave herself fully, joyfully, so I could follow the Lord's call in ministry. If the role were reversed, I know that she would do. I know what she would do. There is no question. So there's no real sacrifice here. I don't have to do this. I get to. Love isn't about convenience. We live in a world that exalts self, self-fulfillment, self-actualization, self-preservation. But love doesn't ask what's easiest. Love asks, what does faithfulness require of me now? It is the world that may see this as a loss, but I see it as a privilege and honor. To care for this lovely woman who has cared for me all these years. To walk with her, perhaps through a valley that is dark and long, but to walk with her nonetheless, hand in hand, as we always have. God has not called me to be president forever. I believe in the vision and mission of this institution with all my heart. I believe God will raise up the right leader for the next season. My stepping down is not a stepping away from the work of the kingdom. It is simply a shift in my assignment. I believe the most powerful thing I can do right now for the gospel is to keep my vow, to love well, to model in a small way the faithful love of Christ for His bride. To the students and staff, thank you, for you have given me more than I deserve. I am so proud of what God is doing in and through you. I have every confidence in the next generation of leaders God is raising up here. I will continue to pray for you, to cheer on you, to cheer you on, and to rejoice in every good gift that comes through your faithfulness. And to Muriel, I don't know how many days I have left together on this earth, but I know this. I will be with her. When she forgets everything else, I want her to remember one thing. I was there. It's not that I have. It's that I get. This is Ruth. This is the godly decision, not the logical decision. Are you at a crossroads? Are you choosing what is safe? Or are you choosing what is faithful, full of faith? Trust starts often with a quick decision to cling to God. Jesus is committed. He clung to the cross. Ruth's love points to the same sacrificial resolve. What will you do when the road back gets hard? We all have many chapters in our life. And there's going to be painful chapters. There's going to be joyful chapters. There's going to be chapters of loss. There's going to be chapters of victory. There's going to be chapters of nothing. What will you choose? Will you return? Or cling forward in holy confidence, trusting in God's care and walking in His care. I love the story. And the more I look at it, the more I just think, my goodness, it's just such a story of love. I realized that in this room, we've all failed this. But let's not change what God intends. It's not about changing what God intends. Let's not lower the bar. No, let's say that's what it looks like. And the Bible says, if we fail, what do? We recognize. We confess. We go to Him for forgiveness. And then we hear God has visited His people. And we take that first step. We arise. And we say, I'm with you, Lord. And with those that we know of. That's the end of chapter of section 2. Let's pray. Father, the love that Ruth demonstrated to Naomi was not, I mean, it was amazing, but it was not logical for her. There was no interest in her. If anything, things would get dark. At least it seemed. But Father, make us into people that trust your leading, your character, even when it costs. That our life will not be driven by greedy eyes, but by loving eyes. They will not be led by emotion, but by conviction. Lord, make us people with backbone, strong in love. And when things don't understand, when we don't understand, Lord, help us, Lord, to cling to you. To lean not on our own understanding, but to lean on you. What a privilege it is to know you. Thank you for your word and the beauty of your word. And anyone here that might feel condemned Lord, for decisions in the past. Well, there's always that. She arose. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today to take a first step back to you. Back to hope. Back to love. Back on that journey, not of what we want, but what you're doing. Not on just what is good, but what is best. We ask, Lord, that you would make us men and women that are full of faith and godliness. Help us to make loving decisions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.